Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, look at that. You know, that's something that we hear people say quite often today in light of our communication system and in the way that things go in life as we live in this culture of this time. It's amazing how intimately we are connected and instantly connected with the entire world in terms of communication. And certainly there are many things that go viral. One that I've followed really closely, of course, being the aviation guy I am, is the Boeing 737 MAX. And after two consecutive crashes of this really new airplane, within a few months of each other, that news went viral. And you probably found it on your news feeds. It was on TV news. It was all over the place. And what's interesting about that is investigators, it takes at least 2 years generally, because there's so many dynamics that happen in a plane crash today, that it takes 2 years to figure it all out. And yet after the second crash of one of these aircraft, it went viral almost immediately. Boeing is criminal. They've built a plane that is worthless, and on and on and on. And the results of what even caused the crash were not even known yet. And so the sense of communication that we have and look at that mentality, immediately people drawn to things as though they are absolutely true, has caused a lot of hurt and pain. It can destroy individuals' reputation. If somebody just says one phrase that they may be fairly well publicly known, and it's one phrase that they maybe didn't mean to say it the way they said it, it can go viral and their reputation can be totally destroyed within minutes around the world, literally. It's the times in which you and I live. And it can happen the same with corporations as well. And while there's a huge negative consequence in the midst of all of this, have you ever considered how we Christians can use this in a very positive way? Where we can be looking to the world, to the culture in which we live in, and we can be excited, and we can be passionate, and we can be saying, look at that. It's an incredible blessing the Lord has given to you and me to witness. And what is it that we can draw the world's attention to? Well, in all of the readings today, it just brings several facets of our Lord's life and the reality of His character together. But in Romans, we find a number of things that Paul emphasizes in this reading. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel, the good news, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection. Do you hear some pretty big events here that we could be drawing the world's attention to and saying, look at that. Who by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, called to be saints, grace to you and peace. There's a lot of exciting things and life-giving and sustaining things in these few words that you and I are blessed to hear this morning. Well, last night, speaking of dreams, and on, by the way, on the cover of the bulletin, that's a rendition of the gospel reading of Matthew, or Joseph receiving the message from the angel in a dream. Last night, I had a dream, and it was one of the most vivid dreams I have ever had, and it went like this. I came to church, and when I get here, it's still dark, get here pretty early. And as I'm approaching the parking lot, it's packed with cars. The parking lot is full of cars. And then when I'm going to go turn in, I can't because there's barricades across the entrance to the parking lot. So I can't get in. And there's people all over the place walking around. I'm wondering, what in the world is going on? And this even becomes a more fascinating dream because Chris Boxham is here today with his family, all the way from Minnesota. I didn't know Chris was going to be here today. But guess who the first person is I meet in the parking lot? It's Chris. And Chris is navigating me through this crowd, and it's a rebellious crowd. They're very upset with this congregation. And so Chris is navigating me through the crowd, and then there's this guy by the name of John Kruger, who's one of our elders, and Chris takes me to John, and I ask, John, what's going on? He says, these people are really unhappy with who we are. They're really unhappy with who we are. It was very intense. And the problem was, is that this crowd was totally misled about what Trinity teaches and preaches in this place. And so the revelation to me in the dream really was, and it ties right in with the scripture, is that there's a lot of manipulation in our culture today about Christianity, about the gospel, and it's a very deceptive manipulation. Satan is the energy behind it, and he is creating this mentality that we as Christians are very divisive, we're very hateful, we're very unaccepting, we're very narrow-minded. And vividly in this dream, these were the things that I was being confronted with in the crowd. It was an incredible dream. But you know, it was a great blessing because my old German temper didn't come out. Instead, I just listened to what they were saying. And then once I understood their perception, I was able to say, well, look at that. Look at that. They're quilters. There were even ladies interested in quilting in the crowd. And I pointed them over to the school and I said, well, look at that. You ought to know what's going on among the quilters over there. It's really exciting ministry here at Trinity Lutheran Church. And it was such an honor to be able to be in this crowd and to share the gospel, to point them to the truth in the midst of the manipulation and the deception that was their perception of what the gospel is all about. Well, you know, when I think about that and the people that I talked to in the crowd, and none of them I knew, that's probably a good thing, but did you notice in the Old Testament reading and in the Gospel reading, we have two individuals, one is Ahaz and the other is Joseph. And we see two totally different hearts and mindsets in these two individuals. With Ahaz, a powerful king, and Ahaz is being threatened by an alliance of nations to the north. And so he's already thinking, he's already got a plan in place. He's going to align with another powerful nation in order to stand up to them, which is exactly what God does not will for Ahaz to do. And so God, through the prophet Ahaz, or through the prophet Isaiah, approaches Ahaz with offering a sign. And here's what Ahaz's response is. And this is so sanctimonious. I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Well, under his skin, Ahaz is saying, God, I don't care what you have planned. I already have my plan in place, and I'm going to do it. And God knew the hardness of Ahaz's heart. But despite that, God does incredible work. It's kind of like the parables. He gives a prophecy, a sign to Ahaz that applies long into the future. And it's really interesting, verse 14 of this reading from Isaiah 7. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Think about that. How many virgins become pregnant with children? It's physically impossible, right? And yet, in this prophecy, God is saying to Ahaz and to all who are blessed to hear it, including you and me here this morning, that this is going to happen. Look at that, God says. Look at what's coming in the future. And this one born of a virgin, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is going to put on human flesh. God is going to become true man. God is coming in the flesh. That is the prophecy 700 years before it transpires. But Ahaz wanted nothing to do with anything at the point that God said. But it had changed God's promise. And there's the key. No. God is steadfast in what he promises despite the rebellion of man. But then we see a whole different heart with Joseph, don't we? So here's Joseph, betrothed to Mary. And in the betrothal, it's like an engagement, and they're not having intimate relationships at that time. And yet, in that time of betrothal, Mary becomes pregnant. And Joseph, right away, and it would be only natural for him to assume this, that Mary had an affair with someone else and became impregnated by them. And so Joseph, seeing the honorable person he is, he's going to try to put her away quietly. And then God comes to Joseph in a dream through an angel. And it's whether it's through a prophet like Ahaz or a dream or a vision with Joseph, doesn't matter. God is the one directing this. God chooses how he comes to each of us with his precious message and word. And so he informs Joseph of what is going on. And so we hear, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now think about Joseph. First of all, it would be going totally against the law of the day, right? That because now it would look like, well, Joseph had relations with the one he's betrothed to. And that puts Joseph in a very difficult and embarrassing situation as well. And it would have been very easy for Joseph to say, God, I really don't care what you say. I'm going to put this woman away and I'm just not going to deal with this anymore. But that's not Joseph. Joseph listens to God. And despite the ramifications it's going to bring to his life, he trusts what God is doing, and he goes through with the plan that God has graciously included him to be a part of. And so we hear when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. There's the obedience we hear Paul speak of in the epistle reading. As a child of God, Joseph was obedient, and also he called the child the name God told him to name the child, Jesus, which means Savior. Look at that, says the angel, as the angel points the reality to Joseph. Well, here we are this morning. And I'd like us to consider our own hearts. And I'd like you to seriously, and we're just going to pause for a moment in the busyness of life today. I want us just to ponder for a moment this past week and just different situations that you've been involved in this past week, just this past week. And I want you to honestly consider, as I do in my life, was I more like Ahaz towards God or more like Joseph? I just want you to take a moment, as I do, to think about that. Look at that. Look at that. Did you have an opportunity to share that with someone this past week? Did you have an opportunity to share with somebody? Look at that. And by that, meaning the wonderful revelations just in these three texts that we have before us here this morning. And first of all, the virgin birth. I mean, look at that. It's never happened before. It will never happen again. It's physically impossible by human standards. But God intervened, didn't he? Jesus wasn't conceived by man, but by the Holy Spirit. And that, dear friends, is a hinge point of everything you and I believe. It's really sad when there's major Christian church bodies that debate the virgin birth. If you take that away, you can throw salvation out the window. Why? Because it broke the chain of original sin. That original sin from the time of our first parents, handed down from generation to generation to generation. And Jesus comes, he's not conceived by man, he doesn't inherit original sin. He truly is born a perfect child. And he never once sinned. He is Emmanuel. Look at that. God puts on our human flesh. Why? To take our flesh to the cross and die in our place as our substitute. Look at that. Just look at that scene. And that isn't just a nice artistic rendition. That's the gospel right there. The gospel that you and I are blessed to know. And as Paul says, the gospel that sets us apart from the rest of the world. Look at that as God has revealed it to us. Look at the reality of the resurrection, that Jesus truly did conquer death. He went through that mystery. He conquered it. He lives, and we live in the security of everlasting life. There's something we can point people to. Look at that. It's incredible what God has done. And then to hear that God wills that everybody would be part of this, that everybody would receive the blessings of this. Look at that from what God reveals to you and me. We are called to belong to Him. We are called to be His saints. We are blessed to receive His grace. And we are blessed to live in peace. That we have peace with God. There is absolutely no barrier that stands between us and God by the grace of Jesus Christ. It's all been crumbled. We have access directly to God. Look at that. Are these things that ought to go viral around the world? Absolutely. In a very good and positive and life-giving and sustaining way. But you and I have the responsibility to make it viral. And we begin right where we are. How would have you reacted if you came to church this morning and the parking lot was barred and you couldn't get in? It'd be kind of a strange feeling, wouldn't it? And I was really pondering that as I lay awake last night, that isn't it a blessing it isn't barred? That it's open to the world? And we desire that the world would come? And yes, there may be those who come and they're way out in left field somewhere and they think we're nuts for what we believe, that's okay. Because we can just say, look at that. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has come and whose birth we will and do celebrate every day, and as we look for him to come back again, I guarantee you on that day, everybody's going to say, look at that! Amen. And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, be with us. And may we, Lord, be faithful servants to you. And may we be your messengers with passion and excitement, and especially for the sake of the lost. In your name we pray and trust, as we rejoice that your peace is upon us. Amen.